Let's all stand if we could. It is such a great honor to have Brother and Sister Putnam here with us this morning, and also be here this evening. Brother Putnam is our district superintendent. For those of you that are new here, of recent, or a guest of ours, Wisconsin, we are part of the Wisconsin district. Of our district, each state has leadership, and they call on our superintendent. And Brother Putnam is our district superintendent over the state of Wisconsin. I love this man, appreciate this man, appreciate his vision. One thing I love about Brother Putnam, and that is that he is so very approachable. And he's just a very humble. I just appreciate his wisdom. And some of us younger pastors, I don't consider myself a young pastor because I'm 53 or 54, somewhere in that neighborhood. My wife and daughter's not in here to correct me this morning. I always get my age wrong. But I was born in 61 or 62 or somewhere in that neighborhood. 62, so you do the math. So it's so great to have Brother and Sister Putnam here this morning. God bless you, Brother Putnam. I want you to come and preach to us.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, why don't we lift up our hands and our voices to Jesus Christ and just thank Him for His goodness and His wonderful saving ability. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we've come through the winter. We have now reached spring. And now, you know, that was a pretty mild winter, don't you think? Everybody's in agreement? Now we need to get out there and do what the church is supposed to do. Amen. Praise God. It is certainly an honor to be back here at Calvary. Been a while, but I certainly appreciate all of you. I certainly love your pastor, Brother Roy and Sister Lois Grant, and I certainly love the bishop, Brother John and Darlene Grant. God bless them. And to all of the ministerial staff, amen, and those that hold license with the United Pentecostal Church, the Wisconsin District, and to all the rest of us ministers, amen. We need to be about our ministry. Everybody in agreement of that? Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. Victorious day. Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey. And the cheers are going up. I just heard a very, very cute story. Brother Gurley down in Texas, he did a Easter Passion. They used live animals in it. And they did the entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he came riding in on a donkey and across the pulpit area, and platform area, and then went out the next door. And at the end of the door, they had a bucket of oats for that donkey. And the second night they did it, did the same thing with the third night. That donkey knew. You're way ahead of the story. He knew that there was oats waiting for him. Well, you'd have thought Jesus had just joined the rodeo because as he went galloping across the platform. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I think we all know that the one that was riding that colt, indeed, and we understand that his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is is the everlasting God, robed in flesh. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But unfortunately, by the end of that week, the same voices that were proclaiming Hosanna, Hosanna, were now proclaiming and shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! I want to read to you today from the prophet Zechariah, the 13th chapter and the 6th verse. It says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. The Gospel of Luke in the 4th chapter, Jesus goes to the synagogue, and as he enters, it says in verse 17 of that 4th chapter, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Church, the Holy Ghost has prompted me to bring to you today a message that I've just entitled, Wounded. Wounded. Would you put your Bibles down? And would you lift up your hands? And would you just ask the Holy Ghost right now if indeed God would just speak to your spirit today? Father, I thank you so much, God, for your love and your graciousness. I thank you for what this week really means to us, God, as born-again Christians. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that God, that when it's all said and done here this morning, that God, all of our hearts and our lives and all of our minds and our purposes, God, will be arraigned and absolutely in sync with your will for each of our lives. God, I ask, God, for your touch, for your anointing, and we'll be very careful, God, to give you all praise and all honor and all glory. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands to him and praise him right now? Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift up your voices. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Shake their hand. Look them in the eye. Say he's going to speak about being wounded. You may be seated. Church, it is so easy for us that are 2,000 plus years removed to speak about Mount Calvary. But what took place there that day has had a profound effect upon each and every one of us here this morning. I don't believe that there is any way that we can repeat or reenact the true sights and the sounds of that dark day. The shrieks of pain as iron pierced the flesh of Christ. The sight of bursting blood vessels as blood poured from his hands and his feet. And whoever arranged the song this morning, thank you for that confirmation. The sound of agony as his muscle tissue was torn apart, as he was being anchored to the cross. The nails plowing through his flesh and penetrating the wood. I know that we don't want to think about it. It's too gross even to consider. It really is just too gruesome to even imagine. But let alone trying to displace all the mental pictures that come with the scene, I am sure that it was not a pretty sight. I am sure it was a scene of agony and woe, a scene filled with every beat of his heart, where the blood of Christ spewed everywhere, falling fresh upon the very soil that he had created. What I'm saying, church, what I'm saying, Calvary Gospel, is that Jesus was wounded. But church, have you ever given thought? Yes, we look at the pictures that have been taken from movies that try to represent the event. But have we ever given thought of what pain he was also enduring in his own thoughts? What mental pictures that were perhaps crossing his mind? The repeated scenes of the last 3 years, 3.5 years of his ministry, the miracles that he alone had performed, the people that he had healed, the dead that he had raised, the lame that walked, and the blind that he restored their sight. Perhaps he was mentally tormented with questions. He said, well, Brother Putnam, he was God in flesh. This wouldn't have happened to him. I bear to differ with you, my friend. He was flesh in all points, like as we are, but yet without sin. Matter of fact, I know it's true, or he would have never from the cross have cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Church, our Lord Jesus Christ was wounded. Is there anyone in the house this morning that's ever been wounded? Raise your hands real high. We want everybody to see that you've been wounded. I think that makes about every one of us. Several weeks ago, I was leaving a meeting at Parkway. I was walking out the door of the church building there, and I'm getting old enough that, you know, I don't dare walk and talk at the same time. And I was talking with another minister, and I really was not watching where I was walking, and I missed the step, and suddenly I was on the ground. Now, that shaking that you felt that day, that was, it really was not a tremor. It was. And believe me, I was. My right knee was hurting, but like most of us, my pride was wounded far greater than my knee. And as I got back up out of concern, I was being asked if I was all right. Are you hurt? They asked. And while I was smarting greatly from the pain, of course, I said, oh, yes, I'll be fine. Only to get to our hotel room that evening to realize that I had pretty well tore up the skin of my knee. I had wounded it. And there were 3 distinct scrapes that had caused it to bleed. It was swollen, and fortunately, it only hurt when I I'm sure that all of us have had a similar story that you can tell of some mishap or some fall or something that caused you to be hurt or to be wounded. I can remember very vividly as a kid playing in our own backyard and then going to our neighbor's backyard on top of their brick fireplace. And I would stand on the top of it with my Superman cape secured tightly around my neck, completely convinced that I could fly. And then I would jump from the top of that 7-foot structure over some bushes into our backyard on the other side. Except one day, I didn't clear the bush. I ended up in the bush with a stick stuck in my arm. I had wounded myself. And that wound cost me a trip to the emergency room, along with several stitches and a scar. But just a couple weeks after this recent fall, I noticed as I was getting dressed one morning that my injured knee was surprisingly getting much better, and all but just one large scab had come off. And the two other spots were just about healed. And as I sat there, I thought, God, you are just so truly amazing. How you made our bodies to automatically initiate when we are wounded physically, to automatically initiate a healing process that you designed in each of us at creation. And that process is for our bodies, listen church, to literally heal themselves. King David put it this way, Psalm 139 and 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How many of you know, amen, you've had scrapes and you've had cuts, you've had punctures, amen, and thank God you saw how the healing process began to work in your body. And you didn't even have to think about it. But as I sat there, I felt the Lord impress me with this message. And as sure as all of us have been physically wounded, there is a pretty good chance, especially in a congregation of this size, that there are those in the sound of my voice right now that have also suffered emotional and spiritual wounds as well. Abuse, physical, mental, sexual, suffered parents going through divorces, suffered being bullied, suffered indeed from prejudices, all indeed ingrained in the mind. And that is why I'm to bring to you Heaven's Mail this morning about being wounded. You see, if you and I could take a closer look at that terrible scene at the place of the skull called Calvary, we would recognize that on that one middle cross was nailed a human body that was undeniably wounded, both physically and mentally. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he went through great means to share with us to the letter to the Corinthians about how the things that happened in the Old Testament, amen, were literally physical things that happened to them in the Old Testament that happened spiritually that can happen to us in the New Testament. Matter of fact, he wrote and he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he said, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, in what happened in the physical throughout the Old Testament can happen to us spiritually in the New. And just as we can be wounded in the physical, so you and I also can be wounded in our spirit. Can I get a witness here? Church, life is not fair. Sometimes at best it can be problematic for all of us. We can be wounded in our spirit. And these wounds usually come from those that we know, those that we love, who say or do something that has hurt us and at times has wounded us deeply. Proverbs 18 and 8 says, the words of a talebearer are as what, church? Wounds. Everybody say wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. But again, just as in the physical, so also in the emotional and spiritual realm. Verse 14 of that same 18th chapter says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I'm telling you, there's a reason why some people in their daily life hang their head. There's a reason why some people go through life never seeing it but the darkness rather than the light. There's a reason why some people, amen, are more negative than they are positive. It's because they are wounded, not physically but inwardly. I'm here to tell you, God did not intend for us to carry these wounds forever. He has made a way that we can be healed and get over these situations. The Lord stated that He had come to set at liberty them that are bruised, to set free those that are hurt on the inside as well as those on the outside. You see, folks, Jesus wants your spiritual wound to be healed. He wants to set you free. But we must understand how this happens. And the best place to look for the solution is how this healing process takes place in the physical. Because as it takes place in the physical, so it does in the spiritual. Brothers and sisters, physical and spiritual wounds heal in stages. The smaller the wound, the quicker it heals. The larger or deeper the wound, the longer it takes. How many of us know that? So let us examine what happens in the physical realm when we get a cut or a scrape or a puncture. First, the wound immediately starts to do what? Everybody say bleed. Say it again. Say it to your neighbor. Bleed. I'll never forget when I came back from having that stick in my arm, and I don't even know what possessed me, but I pulled it out myself, and all this junk started coming out of my arm, and it was bleeding. Amen. And I went up to my mother, and she fainted. There's a purpose for that blood, and our blood will start to clot within just a few minutes and then stop bleeding, and those blood clots will soon dry and form a scab which protects our tissue underneath from germs and infection. And you see, saints, that really is how it is when we are wounded spiritually, because first, we usually are absolutely devastated. We don't know what to do. And brothers and sisters, listen carefully. If it's right here at the onslaught of the wound, if we are not careful when we are wounded spiritually, that we can allow the offense or the trial or the heartache which we have incurred to literally destroy us. So just like in the physical, when our attitude and our spirit become somewhat calloused, this initially is our protective spiritual scab. But brothers and sisters, if we're not patient and give some time for healing to take its course, we literally can destroy ourselves if we're not careful. Why? Because many times we don't know what to do. For you see, physically, once the scab forms, our body's immune system kicks in to protect the wound from infection, from poison. The wound becomes slightly swollen, red or pink, and it becomes very tender. And spiritually, our feelings become tender as well. It's during that phase, if we're not careful, we can be again easily offended by somebody else who may not be necessarily wanting to offend us, but they just may say the wrong word. But because we're in a healing process and we're very tender, all of a sudden we can begin to draw back. Am I making sense here today? So you may even see some clear fluid in your physical womb or wound oozing from that wound, and the fluid helps to keep on cleansing the area. Isn't God amazing? So what do we do? This is not rocket science, folks. We need to leave the scab alone. I don't know about you, but I know me. I get a scab, and then all of a sudden, one little part of it starts coming up from the skin. Have you been there, my friend? And what are we doing? We start picking at it. And we start picking at it. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, that scab comes off. Amen. And we've done more damage than what we ever thought about doing. Our problem comes because spiritually, when we start scratching our spiritual scab, we keep talking about how we were wounded. We keep rehearsing how it happened over and over again. My friend, if you ever have problems with being hurt spiritually or emotionally, you know as well as I do, our minds are like the most fantastic technical video recorder that there is. It will go through the whole scene. Am I telling you the truth this morning? It will go through the whole scene and automatic go back to reverse, and then it'll start all over again. And if we're not careful, that's all we will live and breathe and think about is our wound. Our wound itself begins to consume our thinking. You see, saints, during this time, there is that physical scab. You know, our blood vessels open in that area so blood can keep bringing, listen closely, church, oxygen and nutrients to the wound. And spiritually, church, during this time, we have got to stay in God's Word. And we need to stay in a faithful, prayerful attitude. Not praying the death of the person that has wounded you. That will never heal you. Matter of fact, in describing even a marriage, the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus tells us, amen, that he, the Lord, sanctifies us and cleanses us with the washing. Everybody say the washing of water by the Word. That's why the house of God is so important. We can come in here every week, Monday or morning and evening on Wednesday or any other time for Bible study, and we come in to get our spiritual shower. We get washed. We get bathed. And our wounds can be indeed cleansed. Why? Because we need to keep the bitterness and the poison out of our spirit. Church, do you realize? Do you realize that oxygen, everybody say oxygen, is essential for healing? Now, we all know that oxygen is the atmosphere by which we breathe, right? Church, the atmosphere of the house of God is our heavenly oxygen. His presence is essential for our spiritual healing to take place. The continual flow of the Holy Ghost bathing and helping us. You see, sometimes we forget the one scene at Calvary's cross when our Lord was wounded. The one thing that sometimes when we're going through it, when we're tested, and when we're hurt, is that in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his woe, in the midst of blood, in the midst of crying out pain of tissue, and the mental agony of his mind, our Lord gave us the answer that how we can be healed. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. Oh, it's so easy to talk about forgiveness. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, it just doesn't say forgive. It says forgive from your heart. The innermost part of our being. Because when we forgive, then we automatically are freeing ourselves. We are freeing ourselves because that is the oxygen of the atmosphere when indeed we can say, God, I forgive them. And as soon as we forgive, as soon as that oxygen in our physical wounds, then white blood cells that help fight infection from germs begin to repair the wound. A positive mental attitude can keep us from becoming embittered. And over a period of time, the red blood cells help create collagen, which are tough white fibers that form the foundation for new tissue. And the wound starts to fill in with new tissue called granulation tissue, and new skin begins to form over the tissue, and a scar forms, and the wound becomes stronger. And over time, the scar can perhaps fade, and it may even disappear, but it may not, to continually remind us that once we were hurt, but we overcame through the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus created our physical bodies to heal themselves. And that healing process that he has placed within us, so has he created his spiritual body, the church, to also heal itself. by following the same process as the physical. Stand with me today. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our what? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." I'm going to preach part two of this tonight. But verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we the Lord's own physical body was wounded on the cross, and he bowed his head after he said, "It is finished." But on the third day, next Sunday, folks, listen carefully, when he was raised, when he raised himself from the dead, when he came forth from the grave, listen, there were no longer any open wounds. In 3 days, there were only scars. The wounds were healed. And one shall say unto him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" Then he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Church, through our Lord Jesus' willingness to forgive, when Jesus came forth from the grave, he came forth as the Savior of the world. Not as its condemning judge of revenge. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every head bowed and every eye closed here today. Brothers and sisters, guests here today, don't allow the enemy of your soul to steal your faith, to kill your desire, to destroy your life as you contemplate the wounds that you have sustained in your spirit. But let Jesus set you at liberty today, right now. He has a way to completely turn your attitude and your spirit around by having endured it himself. Because he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me, and the Lord is in this house right now. He has come, amen, to heal you, to deliver you, to fill you, to thrill you." Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. "Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." I'm reading it again, church, "but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Brothers and sisters, he carried your wound on the cross. Sister, he carried your hurt as he hurt. And while hanging it as a common thief, our wounds were already healed. Why don't you let him apply that healing balm of Gilead to you right now? If you need the Holy Ghost today to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can you come to this area right over here to my left? Amen. If you indeed need healing, if you need those wounds that still may be fresh, amen, and you just can't seem to get it over it, would you come over to this side today? Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever else that you need strength, come in the middle. Hallelujah, God. Come on, church. Amen. Let's pray today. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. And let's pray, God. Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands.